The cul-de-sac the ASU grad students picked to study has 7 houses on it. They're new, they're huge, they have sort of hard-to-make-out front doors, but really big garages, very center stage. One of the grad students on the project, Whitney Warman, and I are here one morning about an hour before we see anyone.
Okay, this is really interesting.
I see a person.
Oh my God, there's somebody out. Wow, this is really promising that there's actually people in this cul-de-sac. Because the first time we were here, there was 2 families, and we got yelled at. We were shooed off the street.
This was last spring. Warman and team had recently applied and were awarded a grant with the city to redesign one of their cul-de-sacs for the future, for the year 2030. The cul-de-sac we're looking at right now was built in the mid-2000s and basically follows the same design principles of the 1950s, when American demographics and gas prices and bank loans were actually really different. Half of all households then had children. But in 2030, only a quarter are expected to have kids. And more than a third of households will be singles. To Warman, the houses on this street, about 2,500 square feet, are way too big for just 1 or 2 people.
I mean, 2,500 square feet, you got to clean that. That's a lot of cleaning.
Not to mention
air conditioning and heating and water and gas prices.
And as the cost of these necessities and amenities rise, demographer Arthur Nelson at the University of Utah says our wages are not.
We ended the 2000s at a lower per capita income in real purchasing power terms than we started the 2000s. And all the studies I see indicate that we won't come back to the 2000 level maybe until 2020. Maybe not until 2030, maybe never.
So for economic reasons like this, in addition to environmental and demographic projections, Warman says we'll need to share more living space and thus the cost of our utilities. To do this, Warman says we're going to have to know each other. This is not how it is right now. Current cul-de-sacker Sabrina Mitchell tells us she doesn't know anyone on the block and that she likes it this way.
I mean, it's good to know your neighbor and know that you guys have each other's back if anything was to happen, but no, we pretty much are in here. They're pretty much everybody's pretty much by themselves.
So Warman is asking a lot. She basically wants to take this street, where the only reported social interaction is hypothetical, and turn it into a place where people live in private units a quarter the size of their current houses, but with more shared public space, close to a bus station. The suburbs may not look like this right now, but Nelson, the Utah demographer, says that as much as a third of the current American population wants something very similar.
25% or 33% of American households want a smaller lot within walking distance of transit stations or working opportunities. Well, 30 years ago, it might have been 10% or less. So the fact that maybe a quarter to a third of the households want something different is a dramatic change.
Even though home builders in Arizona are now only building a mere tenth of what they were building during the boom, they're not necessarily building smaller, denser, or closer to transportation and amenities. So some Phoenicians aren't waiting. They're drawing up plans for a totally new kind of neighborhood all on their own.
So here is Vesta. This is our community. And
this is Donna Neiman. She's single, her kids are all grown up, and she has no official training as a planner. Yet here she sits with pages of plans she helped dream up for a new community she wants to build and then live in here in Phoenix.
We have 14 homes in this quad, and this is our quad for adults, either married or single. They are around a common green area that we could have a barbecue, a shade structure.
If this sounds familiar, it's because the drawing hits on almost all the same themes as Warman's.
For me, as an aging baby boomer, I've lost half my stock portfolio. I did everything right, right? It's all worth nothing right now. And I'm like, okay, who's going to rebound me for the last 25, 30 years of my life? Do I trust the government? Do I trust financial people? Heck no, right?
Instead, Neiman says she wants to trust her neighbors. In Phoenix, I'm Devin Brown.